I on?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So good. Thank you. What a wonderful staff we have, and volunteers and all of you. Thank you so much. We're understanding that we're living in gracious space right now. Usually the stage isn't this high. And Ajay mentioned this, but Mary Poppins is happening here. And that's one of the interesting things about our church and how we are part of this, the wider community as well, is that Kevin Dreger and Ajay and Tracy, myself, and maybe a couple others have been helping the music ministry, music teacher here, set up, take down, get things ready, and they're so appreciative of us working alongside them, them able to use our chairs. We've been figuring, this is bugging me all morning, actually, and and so they're really appreciative that we figured out the curtains and whatnot, and that's just another great opportunity for us to be planted here in this area. So today, mine's not necessarily a report; it's going to be more of an address. And I'm realizing that we're all going to get really hungry pretty soon, and I'm going to try to keep it tight. But I also invited Natalie from our church here to come share in a little bit. And so I appreciate you being willing to do that. And so I want to make sure that we're going to have time for you for sure. So what I'm going to be looking at is already written up in the AGM. But I'm going to touch on a couple high points in that. And so I want you to be thinking about this. According to the church calendar, we've just come out of the season of what? Easter, right? And which has, how many days does it have? Anyone? 50. 50 days, it's okay. We're all a bunch of evangelicals. And so, and that's a good thing, but we don't always necessarily embrace the church calendar. And anyway, so 50 days. The early church believed that Easter wasn't just an event. So Easter, the pinnacle of Easter, is Jesus rising from the dead, right? It's Jesus revealing to the world that, yes, he is Lord, that death could not hold him, that we have an empty cross and an empty tomb. And Jesus came and rose from the dead, and we say yes to that, and then we go, what does that mean for us? And the Easter season now for 50 days, I love that the church implemented this, because during those 50 days, historically, Jesus was what? Showing up to people. In people, we have these different stories of Jesus showing up and them not recognizing who he is because he had a different body. Because they weren't anticipating Jesus, the Son of God, being killed, and then they weren't anticipating him actually being resurrected and coming to life because he might have been just like a Messiah, like all the rest of the Messiahs. So Jesus spends those 50 days, in a sense, showing up to people in different lives. And so it's a season of people understanding the reality of what the resurrection means in their own lives. And I want us to look at this, and I wonder if this season, this kind of metaphor that I'm going to look at in gardening, Jesus being the gardener, I wonder if this is what we're to maybe hold on to this next year as we move into ordinary time in the church calendar. I won't bog you down with all that. I had a chart, but we're not going to put it up. And we move from the Easter season, understanding who God is, into this. So I want us to look at, you can go read it yourself, but John 20, instead of looking at the verses, can you just put that one verse on there? John 20, 15? So just go to the slide, actually. So here we have this story that John writes, the very first story of someone recognizing Jesus as resurrected, right? And it was Mary Magdalene, of all people. We're going to get that in a second. Mary Magdalene comes and you can read the story in John 20, but she comes, there's like, what? The tomb, someone took Jesus. Then they went back and got some of the disciples, came back, and then they were like, what? And then those disciples went back and told the rest. And then Mary's looking around like going, what's going on? Where are they? A couple angels speak to her. And then all of a sudden she looks. And John says this interesting thing. He says, she thought he was the gardener. We have Jesus resurrected in a graveyard, which is actually a garden at the time. And Mary thought he was the gardener. A gardener, the Son of God, who is said to have all the power, all the authority on earth, looks like a gardener to Mary. Years ago, I read this passage arrogantly, like, how could Mary get that so wrong? Jesus isn't a gardener, he's a king. He's a ruler of all. He's resurrected in his fullness here, and she thinks he's the gardener. Come on, Mary. Now, I'm wondering, I've been wrestling with this for a couple of years since I started reading about, I'm wondering now if Mary might have been onto something here, actually. And John might have been dropping some hints that King Jesus might actually look more like a gardener than anything else. So hold on to this with me for a minute. Maybe, just maybe, the image of Jesus, the gardener, in the middle of a graveyard is the image that John wants the reader to wrestle with. So we're going to sit with that in a minute. And maybe we may not always recognize Jesus at first, but he's there. And in this passage in John, John calls Mary's name. And then she understands a bit more who he is. So maybe he wants to call us by name. And his desire for us is to grow and flourish. Like what we already heard a little bit. Jesus, the gardener of a new creation. Brian Zahn, this is one of the things that I've been wrestling. I wrote an article a few years ago, and just a quick example here. He says, Jesus is not a conductor punching tickets for a train ride to heaven. Jesus is not a banker making loans of his surplus of righteousness. Jesus is not a lawyer to get us out of the legal jam with his angry dad. Jesus is a gardener cultivating resurrection life in all that will come to him as he calls their name. Gardens grow from seeds that have died. Beautiful flowers, fruitful plants, and shady trees have all come from ashes of dirt, from what seems to be dead. Gardeners plant seeds. Gardeners want things to grow. They want to help create the right environment for that to happen. Death and sin could not hold Jesus in the graveyard, and he does not want it to hold us now. The resurrection says, the Easter season says, death is not the end. And John is pointing us to something else that we should maybe pay attention here. This whole resurrection narrative, that maybe he's speaking about a new creation now. You see, this happened on the first day of the week. When a Jewish person would have heard that, they would have jumped to the creation story. On the first day of the week, here this, what, first day, huh? And here it is, Jesus is being seen as a gardener in the midst of the graveyard, wanting to create and produce something new out of absolute chaos. This is the beautiful understanding of who God is. The gospel writer, so God wants to bring us and work on these things, and maybe there's a new creation that God's wanting to work in our own lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of those who we're also a part of. Here Jesus is a new Adam, the gardener, in charge with bringing chaos of God's creation, chaos of this creation into a new order, into flower, into fruitfulness. He's come to uproot the thorns and the thistles and replace them with blooms and harvests. The church now has the privilege here to be co-gardeners. There's a term that a lot of people use, co-creators with God, co-workers with him, with Jesus to bring about this new creation. Our mission at Coast Hills is to be a Jesus-centered community creating gracious space through acts of generous love. We want Jesus, the gardener, to be at the center of our community. Will we allow Jesus to be our gardener in our own lives? What does the soil look like in our own lives to look like? Do we need some tilling? Do we need some watering? Do we need some pruning? Do we have seeds that God's come? We're going to unpack this in the next little while as a leadership team and even for us as a community. What does it look like? What does the garden look like that Coast Hills is planting? if Jesus is the real story. I believe with all my heart that if Jesus remains the center, Jesus will continue as the gardener of this church. It will flourish. It will grow. It will produce fruit, and fruit that will last. It will produce shade for those that are exhausted by life and that might need some time to rest and heal. Many of us come from different ways, different parts, and some of us have been actually transplanted, right? Because sometimes you need different plants to grow. They need different environments to be able to be shaped by it. And so we're going to call Natalie up, and I just asked her, can I share what your email said? It was really funny, but really, come on up. I asked Natalie, I said, you shared this with me a couple weeks ago. Could you just share how you came to Coast Hills and maybe what's keeping you here? Because that was just so beautiful. I think people need to hear it. And their email was, to your question, icky, 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 icky. Okay, I will. So thank you. I know. So, please.
Thank you.
Go right into the mic. I know you might not
right
like that.
The mic.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay. Icky, icky. Yes, public speaking, not what most people really enjoy to do. But I've been thinking about this, and thank you for the opportunity to share. It was about two springs ago, my daughter and I, Natavia and I, were at Dawn Christian Rec Center at a community event. We had nothing to do, had to get out of the house, and we went to the rec center, and we're just milling around. And this little cherub-faced, blue-eyed, blonde-haired boy looks up at my daughter, and there's this instant love connection that goes on. And I'm looking at this going, oh, hello, little boy. Oh, my goodness. And so Carter is working at this art project, and he says, Mommy, can I give this to this little girl? She's like, of course. And so we strike up this friendship, this connection that happens. And Shannon comes to me and says, do you mind if we exchange numbers? Do you think maybe we could get the kids together? And I said, sure. So we passed numbers to each other. And I walked away at the end of the evening feeling lighter. My husband and I had recently separated. I was finding myself alone with a five-year-old going, and as Natavia and I walked to the car, I said, Natavia, I think Mommy just made a new friend. And she goes, I think I made a new friend too. And so we got together, and Shannon and I got the kids together, and we were playing over at the park here. And we got talking, and it was sort of like, well, I know God. Do you know God? You know God, huh? Well, I'm really angry at God, like really, really angry, because there's like this baggage on me. And so with that, Shannon has said, Coast Hills, you should try it out. Come check us out. And I'm really thankful for you guys to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you for the children's church. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for you. Thank you to Jeanette for quietly coming to me and saying, I don't know your name, but do you think you could help with baking? And I thought, oh, baking, I can do baking. I could do baking. If I can't bake, I can buy cookies. I can do that. And so thank you for embracing me and my daughter, for helping us feel a part of a group that I have been pushing away from for a very long time. Thank you for all you do and sharing God's word to me through music, through kind smiles and warmness. So thank you for loving my daughter.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. When a community provides gracious space for people, guards fall down. Authentic relationships grow. The circle of inclusion widens. The gospel writers record that Jesus has always been doing this way, this thing all the time. Always moving beyond what is expected of a religious leader and a group, and calling his people to do the same. We at Coast Hills want to be this community that creates this gracious space, not for the sake of creating gracious space. Please hear that. We're not here to create gracious space in order to create gracious space. We're here to create gracious space because we are Jesus-centered. This is what Jesus did. Therefore, this is what we do. Therefore, this is who we are. So let's continue to do this. Recently read an article by Ed Stetzer. It's in there, but it says, once we are able to admit our churches are broken and we allow them to be places filled with broken people, we can then begin to reach into the hearts of people. Why is the world so broken? How can we fix it? What is the answer? Our churches need to remain transparent to a world that sees through the veils and masks and perceived values of moral behavior. You see, a church without broken is actually a broken church. Our churches need to be places where real life change happens. This will be contagious to a world seeking answers and wholeness. We have a message that's worth sharing and a difference that's worth seeing. This is what we're trying to accomplish here. The challenge of being a Jesus-centered community in gracious, gracious space is to allow our own brokenness to be exposed, but also to the healing hand of Jesus himself. I know I'm mixing metaphors now here, but I see this as a strength of Coast Hills. We're ordinary people. We're not trying to put on a show, but actually admitting ourselves. Although today, just so you know, I tuck my shirt in. Christmas, Easter, and AGM, okay? That's when I tuck it in. That being said, we don't want to put on a show and our hang-ups, but we long for the gardener to tend our own lives, don't we? So that long-lasting fruit would be able to grow. Jesus' life was an ongoing act to this entire world, a world that is both beautiful and broken. His ultimate act of love was displayed on the cross and vindicated through the resurrection. He came to give life to all, and that literally meant that he had to die so that all may live. Would we be fine, faithful, to continue to do this? I want to encourage you to read the report of missions. The people that we support are amazing, and they're part of our church. And we're looking, there's some new things that are happening with our MB mission as well. We'll let you know a little bit more as more of that information comes out. Find ways to encourage Darian and Paul and Ruth Ann. Thank you for your generosity with Kawasha. It's a beautiful thing that we've set our sights on that. We've not changed that. Also, by God's good grace, we're planning to move into the ministry center, hopefully within about a month. And we want to have that. There's four things we know. It's going to be a central location for our staff to work, a place for youth to meet, a home base for our worship teams to practice in. And the space then is going to give us opportunities to meet as a body, to be taught, to pray, to discern. But we also want to take the next couple of months and the next little while, you'll be able to see, once we open it, and we're going to find times when we can meet in there to be able to listen to one another. We don't want to fill it full of programs right away. We don't want to fill it for, this is what we should do, because it would be so cool. We want to say, what does it look like? What does the earth look like for us to be tilling here? What seeds do we want to start planting here? And what does it look like for us to work together as a community? And that's the tricky part. That's the messy part of getting your hands dirty to work together in that area. In the report, check out the Ministry Center. Thank you to all those people that have been able to help in the last while. It's been a long haul. but thankful for the faithful people. In this way. Coming back to John 20 passage is this. I find it very interesting that the first person that John records to see Jesus is a woman. I find it even more interesting that that woman was Mary Magdalene, a woman who experienced much brokenness and chaos in her own life, but a woman who was transformed by Jesus, the gardener. This was not the correct propaganda to be spreading at the time when you want to talk about a resurrected Lord. You could have come up with a lot better ideas, and that's why I see this as a total truth. That our God realizes that this is the person that he realizes to be able to see, and I'm thankful now, being a man, to be able to see Jesus for who he is and continue to see who he is. Mary Magdalene, would we continue to embrace our own brokenness, the old ashes and the dirt in our own lives? And would we allow this gardener, Jesus, the ultimate gardener, to start planting and sowing and tilling and working and gardening in our own lives? And as he does that, we're going to find places that we can actually be in a locale to plant our garden as Coast Hills, together as a group. Let's allow Jesus, the gardener of life, to tend our own souls so that we are able to be a part of what he's doing around the world, bringing life, beauty, and love. Let's pray. God, thank you again for your faithfulness to this beautiful flock of people. And thank you for their faithfulness to one another. Thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives. We have a picture of you being the gardener in our life. And if we don't know what that means, would we even just be thinking about that? But we're wanting and hoping that you would be planting seeds, even in the hardest parts in our lives, and amend the soil by your Holy Spirit, and allow people, other people, to bring us water, allow other people to help garden as well. That what we would be producing here would be something of lasting value, not a flash in the pan. We look forward to what you have in store for us. Thank you for being our gardener and our Lord and our King. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.